Hi, today we get to talk recovery with Candace Platter. She was our best first guest, if you do recall. She was on our first show. She's the author of Loving an Addict, Loving Yourself. And today we're just going to talk about how to stay safe during the holiday season and just totally focus on how people that struggle with addiction can stay safe during the holidays and how the people that love them can help them stay safe. Or even if they can help, what can we do? So welcome back to the show, Candace.
Hello.
Hello.
It's nice to be back.
Yeah, it's great to have you back, and thank you for bringing cookies.
Oh, anytime.
It's a sure way to get in our good graces, for sure. Peanut butter and chocolate chip are my favorite. So in your experience, Candace, are the holidays, especially the Christmas holidays, hard for people to stay sober?
It's really hard. It's the hardest time of year for addicts and for people in recovery and for people who love them. I think this time of year and birthdays are the hardest times for people.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons, but, you know, we're such a commercialistic society now, and, you know, people watch TV and they see all of those commercials on TV about the wonderful family that you're supposed to have. And, you know, there's one, I think, from Safeway or somewhere about, it's just not the same if you don't have a turkey, you know, and it's a bottom line money thing for people so that they go and buy lots of presents and lots of food and lots of doing all that. And if you don't have all that and if you don't have a family to be with, then you're a loser. There's something wrong with you. That's the message that's being given. And a lot of people don't have that, but that doesn't mean they're losers.
I think it's what message you're connected to hearing too. Like, I mean, I barely have time to turn on my TV because someone was telling me today that there's actually a lot of alcohol commercials and that sort of thing on TV now. And I was like, oh, is there? Like, I never get a turn on my TV, which is, you know, because the children.
Especially vodka commercials.
So I guess this is a new thing. But I mean, I'm not connected to that message. I think if any message I get, I'm more connected to the community about helping other people. And so that becomes a different thing. But then also, so it becomes a little bit about what message are you connected to hearing. But I think for me, when I was thinking about this show, like that really it becomes about sort of comparing yourself to other people. And I once heard that comparison is a form of self-abuse, which I would agree with.
Yep.
Because you always fall short. Like, I've compared myself to people most of my life. And in my perspective, I always lose. They always have something I don't have or whatever. So,
or seem to. They don't always have it, but they seem to.
Especially with Facebook, too, and things like that. Like, people, you know, have these great pictures and all these different things.
And 150 billion friends.
Yes, about there. So what do you think are some of the solutions to looking at those things and to feeling less than and feel like, well, I don't have that or whatever? Like, what are some of the solutions?
Well, I think, first of all, what you're talking about in terms of what you're connected with at this time of year, it's all about spending money. It's all about, you know, the having. And it's all about having loving families who are loving all the time and can't wait to see you and you can't wait to see them. And, you know, so I look at what is it that you really want to buy into? It's not so much what you want to buy. It's what you want to buy into. What is this season about for you? You know, and maybe going back to a spiritual place because that's what it started from. And looking at, like you say, helping other people or being able to, you know, if you want to give a gift, if you want to appreciate somebody, keeping it simple, making something, you know. It's not about, I don't think it's about what we see in the world that it's about today. So.
Yeah. And there's a big message of my daughter, actually, they're doing a can drive at school. And so she keeps emptying my cupboards and giving my food to other people. Like she's like sneaking it out of the pantry and stuff.
And oh, that's really sweet.
Well, we had a conversation about it and there was a time, like I said to her, she's like, oh, you know, this is for the poor people. And I said, we were once the poor people, Maya. Like we have cans in our cupboard today, but we didn't always have that.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And the generosity of others at Christmas Christmas. I mean, it's, there's so many places to serve and, to help other people. And I do think that it's a great opportunity to connect to that message. But today we're more talking about how to stay sober.
Yep.
And so, like, I know I was saying before, like, the first time that, I had a relapse was at a family party, a family Christmas party.
Yep.
And, so yeah, there's that piece of information for all the people out there.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me. That's a really tough situation for a lot of people.
Yeah, so what are different things? Like, looking back, I mean, honestly, I don't know. I mean, I think during the holidays, how big a factor is stress, family, triggers, doing what you've always done, like all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I think it really starts from understanding that addiction is actually a choice. And what I mean by that, I don't mean that people choose to become addicts, because we don't choose. I'm a recovering addict as well, and we don't choose to become addicts. We don't go and take addiction 101 and say, gee, that might be fun. Let's try to be an addict, you know. But when you know that you have a problem, that's where the choice point is. And most addicts know inside themselves that they have a problem. If they're still in active addiction, they know they have a problem. They often know way before they reach out for help, unfortunately. So, you know, it's really about whether you're going to be choosing to stay in active addiction and not deal with your life, or you're going to go into some kind of active recovery. That's the choice point. So what is it that you really want for your life would be the first question to ask. For people who really, really are done, like when I was done, I was done. I didn't know that I'd have a lot of years accumulate of clean time when I stopped, but I really felt done and I had reached a bottom. And I think for people who feel that way, it's not going to matter what the situation is. They're going to find a way to not use or drink. They're going to find a way to not go back into addiction if they're done, if they're making that choice. And for people who aren't quite finished yet, you know, they could use anything as the broken shoelace to go out and relapse, but they don't have to. If you can just ride it through, if you can think it through to its logical conclusion, picking up a drink, picking up a drug, that isn't going to be what makes the holidays better for you.
Yeah, it definitely becomes like now, like I see it as more like a series of small choices. Like that, it sort of becomes the mindset changes from, you know, how can I get drunk or how can I do whatever that I want to do that's not healthy for me? And then it becomes, once you want to stay sober and you want to stay clean and you want to be healthy, then it becomes, how do I need to arrange things so that I can stay clean?
Like, yep. Instead of how can I arrange things so that I can go out and use?
Yeah, exactly. And so it totally becomes like a different perspective, because then you tend to, you know, you watch your stress levels. You know, like, okay, that's not safe for me. Oh, maybe I can't go to that party. Like for me this year, I'm throwing the party, my Christmas dinner.
Okay.
And so I don't know. I don't think that there'll be alcohol there, but it hasn't really come up yet. But I think that's one way to sort of be, you know, to have a boundary.
So if you're throwing the dinner, do you want to have alcohol at your dinner? And if you don't, then how about setting a boundary around that?
Yeah, like I was actually going to make it a lunch, but then it turned into a dinner. So yeah, I haven't really approached that. And this show maybe will help me with that, right? Because I know that I won't drink. Like now I feel very, very secure in my sobriety. I'm doing all the things that I need to do and I want to be sober. So I do think that mindset helps a lot too. Like,
so you'd be okay if other people were drinking in your home and...
I don't know. I don't know. Because, I talk to my children about alcohol, too, so then it sends two messages as well.
Do you feel ready to risk that would be a question that I would ask, because, you know...
Well, I'm in the hot seat now, Candace.
I've been clean and sober for a long time, and people ask me, you know, about abstinence, and they ask me about harm reduction, and for me, I prefer to stay abstinent, because maybe I could safely have a glass of wine. Maybe I could safely smoke a joint at a party. I'm very different than
I
used
really
to be.
That would be really weird to see.
Yeah, and I'm very different than I used to be, so it's very possible that I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I don't know. I don't know if I would be. And I'm not willing to risk that. And by staying abstinent, I don't have to worry about it every day. I don't have, when I go out for dinner with friends, I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to have a glass of wine.
Yeah.
I just don't have to worry about it. And it makes my life much easier.
Yeah, because then you can just focus on what you want to focus on.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, you put me in the hot seat, Candace, and you definitely gave me, I think I probably will say no alcohol because, yeah, you know what? It's just not worth the risk for me.
And, but, and family members need to support each other with that.
Yeah. So, and it's nice too, because once I got into recovery, then my brother ended up following suit. So yeah, so now there's two of us. Mm-hmm. We'll start a whole gang.
Safety in numbers.
I'm going to send this over to Darren. You're going to stay with us and we get to talk lots more with you. So on to you, Darren.
Candace brought up a question when she was talking with Francis, and the question was, are you willing to risk that confidence, that mindset that you had, that hope, by making a decision that may jeopardize that? And the thing is before you're actually in the experience, the confidence is genuine. And it's not until you're in the experience surrounded by alcohol do you actually get the awareness of, oops, this
might
I shouldn't
not
have done
been
this.
Such a bright idea. Because like I was saying to you in the break, you know, there's often a difference between confidence and certainty.
Hmm.
So we can be confident. We can really feel like we're confident, and maybe in that moment we are. But I'm not sure we can ever, as addicts, as alcoholics, I'm not sure we can ever be certain that we won't relapse.
Right.
It's one day at a time for all of us. And if I don't continue to take care of myself, and if you guys don't continue to take care of yourselves, any one of us could go out and relapse. Anybody could do that.
And brand new, like a lot of our comments from Facebook were, you know, it's too fresh in my recovery right now. I'm going to really protect myself, you know, for this time. And that sounds like a humble position to take, you know, not being
and wise too.
And wise, exactly.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to go figure out the wrong way. I don't want to have the rude awakening after having made the mistake of putting myself in an uncomfortable position.
Yep.
So I'm just going to go on this confidence that I appreciate what I have right now and overprotect myself.
Mm.
And I think that's really what's happening is we're talking about, I mean, if this is a question that anybody's having right now on both ends, either the people throwing the party, you know, what's the big deal? It's just alcohol. But then my boss always asks the question, well, would it be okay if they brought heroin to the table? You know, like, and of course, the people that socially accept alcohol are going to be like, well, that's just ridiculous. Mm. Alcohol is nothing like heroin. But to the addict, to the alcoholic, they're both you know, the same draw, the same power.
And if you can't have one and you really want to get high, you'll do the other. Won't we?
Yeah. And that's the most dangerous mindset to be in. Well, I don't have a problem with alcohol.
Right.
I'm just a heroin addict or a crack addict.
I just smoke pot. Every day.
So I don't mind if the alcohol goes around.
Yep.
And often is if you don't have a problem with alcohol, the question is, well, do you want one?
Mm-hmm. I think, like, actually just hearing you guys talk and being put on the hot seat by Candace. Thank you very much, Candace.
Sorry.
No, you know what? This show is so helpful to me. I hope it's helping other people out there. But seriously, this show helps me every week, like, address things in my own life. So this is bringing that up for me. And I was thinking as I was listening to you guys talk that really once you get sober, you really enter into a new community of people, right? And I was thinking now that I'm in a position to have people in my home, it's really a chance to sort of build that community, you know, like to entertain in a different way. Because that's the thing, is like when you get sober and you go into recovery, everything's different, and it takes, you know, year after year. It was like, you know, 10 years ago, it was totally normal for me to, you know, get drunk at Christmas. That was my normal. Now, you know, now I have to create a new normal. And that's what recovery is. So, you know, that's recovering, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and it's
yeah,
much
this
healthier.
Is really making me think of that. Like, you know, the fact that I'm creating a new community and new people that will come into my home. Not that my family wouldn't be welcome, but of course they would be, but that they would be sober when they came, like.
And when they left.
Yeah, you know, yeah, like very, very good very good discussion.
And it, you know, it takes away some of the problems of what can happen when people get drunk at your party.
Yeah.
What happens if, you know, if Uncle Joe comes to your table and he's always gotten drunk and he's going to come again and you don't have a boundary about that and he gets drunk at your table? Well, how are you going to handle that? What do you want that there?
Well, plus, like, I know when I was new in recovery and I went to a wedding, I ended up leaving because the temptation was too great for me. And, but when it's in your own home, you can't leave.
It's your house. But see, that's the other thing. It's your house and you have the right to set a boundary around
right.
that. And if other people don't want to come to your Christmas dinner because of that, oh well, there'll be people who do.
And I think another thing you can do is bring a sober friend, like a friend that goes to meetings with you or whatever, to go with you and to leave with you mm-hmm. and to make sure that leaving together is, you know, solid.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, oh, if I need a ride or yeah. I might stay.
No, it's a plan. It's a solid plan.
Yeah.
And you might also want to make sure that you leave at such a time that you could get to a meeting afterwards.
Yeah, have a plan.
Or have, you know, especially if you're out of town, have that arranged.
Mm-hmm.
Know where the meetings are if you can. And at the very least, and I don't mean this to be the least because I think it's really important, have maybe a phone call scheduled with your sponsor. Mm-hmm. And know that at 9:45, you know, dinner's going to end probably around 9:30. At 9:45 or so, you're going to call your sponsor and your sponsor will be available. So you get to debrief. And, you know, there, if you don't have any of that, there are also crisis centers that are open 24/7 mm-hmm. that you can call and talk to somebody if you're feeling at risk or you just want to debrief, because that's what recovery is about. It's about sharing our feelings and talking about what's going on instead of squashing it down with something addictive.
And it's interesting you bring up going to a meeting because, you know, like what Giuseppe said about it, it's just another day. So why
yeah.
would you have to, you know, why would you change your program of recovery, whatever that looks like? But I mean, imagine the energy at a meeting on Christmas.
I've been to so many. I remember them really well. And it's really good energy because people kind of sometimes come into a meeting on Christmas just feeling so deflated. It was difficult at their family gathering or they feel really alone or whatever it is that they're feeling. They walk into that room and there are all these people who are so glad to see everybody else. Mm. And the energy just shifts. It's so much healthier.
And who are making recovery a priority, obviously,
yes.
by being there on such a day where, you know, it'd be so easy to say, oh, well, I'm busy and I have dinner and I got to drive here and then go visit these people.
Mm-hmm.
Like that they're maintaining that
mm-hmm.
program. And
yep.
who knows, you might have somebody walk in that day that's really struggling, maybe doesn't have a home, and reset
yep.
that level of meaning in your life as far as, you know, what you have in your own life and
yeah.
maybe what you can be thankful for.
There may be somebody who comes to that meeting who really needs to hear what you have to say. Maybe they need to hear you talk about how difficult it was at your family gathering that night.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they need to hear that so they don't feel so alone. And maybe they also need to hear you say, but I'm staying sober and I'm at a meeting.
And a great day to get sober, always, to step into a meeting or do whatever you need to do. But, you know, there's nothing like a newcomer at, at any meeting, any time of year, but especially around Christmas and New Year's. Yeah.
Just be careful not to overwhelm a newcomer, because I could see everybody at the meeting wanting to go and talk to the newcomer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, sometimes that's overwhelming. It's wonderful, but it can be overwhelming. So just be careful around that, but don't leave them out because of that either. Just be aware of whether everybody's on them.
Yeah.
I just mean to the people listening, like to maybe, you know, take that step and
reach
check
out.
It out.
Mm-hmm.
Check it out. At least have make an informed opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking back during this conversation to my first Christmas clean, and I was a few months, like 5 or 6 months clean. I was, you know, in treatment, and I just remembered thinking, you know, hearing my family who loves me dearly and has gone to the wall with support, and we're saying, like, you know, we'll make sure there's no alcohol. I'll let everybody know. I remember my mom saying that, and I remember the moment where I just felt like, honestly, just like a cripple. I felt like an absolute cripple, because it was like, see, there's still this effect going on in my family, even as a result of me getting clean, that there's all these changes that other people are having to make. And I'm already feeling enough guilt for the damage that I've caused that now there's still an effect as I'm recovering. And I just, I mean, I think of myself as like Tiny Tim showing up on Christmas, but without the positive, like, God bless everyone attitude. Like, just that I mean, I absolutely resented myself. I was still dealing with the effect of my addiction in my life. Mm. And I remember also feeling that I had to be there. That I had to be there to start making up for all the mistakes that I made. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't true either. But like you said, I was so uncertain of what I needed to do for me. And mm-hmm. I wasn't the one with the confidence to know what that answer was.
Right.
And it was someone like, you know, like Giuseppe's perspective, just saying, hey, like it's just another day.
Yeah.
You know, like there's, like you want to ensure more Christmases to come.
And what do you want to buy into? It's just another day, really. For most people, it's just another day.
Yeah. And I realized really that up to that point, Christmas had really no meaning for me. I didn't grow up religious. Mm-hmm. You know, Santa Claus came down the chimney and brought a stack load of presents. That's what Christmas was for me. And then I realized I had to change that. Like now that I'm an adult and I've kind of paused my life and numbed out for a number of years, that I had to revisit and remake what Christmas meant to me. And it did mean that I stay clean and sober. Like, period. And then whatever that is, that's going to ensure that my family would totally be behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not that's me not showing up to that first Christmas and asking everybody not to drink and just do what they normally do, or be a part of. And that was where I started making decisions for myself. But again, with the support and the help of other people that have gone through this experience. So that's why this is an awesome conversation, because we have a table of people here that have gone through it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that have also made mistakes. Now, are you still, like, what's your position, like, you know, today? How long have you been in recovery?
26 and about a half years.
See, that would be
one day at a time.
Enough time to make a total change. And
I've made total changes, absolutely. But I'm not sure that if I pick up the first one, I'm not going to pick up the second one. I'm not sure about that. So, you know, and the fact that I've made so many changes is, you know, I've got a lot to lose. I feel like I've got a lot more to lose now than I did before, you know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to respond to what you were saying there and about, you know, your family who would go to the mat for you. And I'm so happy for you that you have that. I'm so glad for you. And not everybody does.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you don't have a family who is willing to do that, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with you. And it doesn't mean, it doesn't give you license to just go and relapse unless that's really what you want to do. You know, cause you have a family in the program. You have people who, even if you're not close to them, they know you. As soon as we walk through the door and we're sitting at a meeting, we know each other. We could be totally different, have totally different values, you know, but we know each other on a deep level and we want to help each other, and that's why we're there.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the second Christmas I came and somebody came with me, a friend of mine that had, you know, been there for support, and he lived, you know, I think in Manitoba's where his family was, and it wasn't the same style of family as I had, and he came with me, mm-hmm. and we all had dinner, and it's, I mean, it was just an opportunity for me to realize that, yeah, I'm pretty fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And then it made me feel even more guilty for having taken that for granted for so long. You know, it's like, with that is awareness. And I think getting sober, getting clean, every awareness that we get comes with a little bit of guilt, don't you think? And I think that's what makes Christmas so hard, or the holidays, is because, especially when it's the first, because I know what I did last year on this day. During this time.
Mm-hmm.
Any other day of the month, it's kind of like, I don't know what I was doing last February 13th, you know, but during the holidays.
It was before Valentine's Day. You sure you don't know what you were doing? See, that's another one that people buy into, and it makes people crazy. It makes people crazy. But the bottom line is buy more, mm-hmm. spend more money. If you don't have a lover, go get one so you can buy something.
Hmm. So what's Christmas going to be this year?
Now, you did a workshop just recently. I believe it was a webinar on people how to stay safe Can you explain more about what that was?
Yeah, actually, it was a teleclass. And,
a teleclass.
And what it was about surviving the holidays if you're the loved one of somebody, either in early recovery or an active addiction. So it was geared more toward the loved ones because they have a really hard time at this time of year too. Like, what boundaries do we set? You know, there's a fantasy thinking at this time of year. There's a wishful, childlike, childish, probably more like it, fantasy thinking of, well, it's Christmas and I'm going to have my addict come for dinner, you know, my son or my daughter or whatever, because they'll stay clean and sober. It's Christmas and everything will be fine. Right? And so those are the kinds of things I talked about, because you know what? That might not happen. And what do you do if that doesn't happen? So it's dealing with reality. And I think if, whether you're the loved one or whether you're the addict, we need to deal with reality. What is our reality? And take off those rose-colored glasses and stop pushing our feelings and our thoughts down with, yeah, you know,
the drug dealers keep selling drugs on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. I don't think they stop because it's Christmas.
But
so,
the loved ones, until they understand the difference between enabling and helping, mm-hmm, until they understand that, they continue their own addictive behaviors of enabling, which keeps the addiction going. So I wanted to really help loved ones understand some of the best ways to support the addicts in their lives as well as themselves.
Yeah, we get that a lot, you know. Families calling, and they're calling to have their sons, you know, get well and find recovery.
By Christmas.
And then you mention to them, well, what are you doing for you? And they're, mm-hmm, like, well,
what do you mean?
I have nothing wrong with me. It's my son. And it's like, well, you know, there's programs like Narnon and Al-Anon, and there's also lots of supports out there, services like your services where, mm-hmm, you know, it's a family disease. Everyone needs to get well. So if somebody wants to get in contact with you, Candace, you know, how do they get in contact with you and tell us what your website's about?
Okay. Well, I'm an addictions therapist and have been for over 20 years, actually. Now I work predominantly with the loved ones. I do work with some people who are addicted and wanting to stay clean and sober, but they really need to be ready, because I don't want to work with them unless they're really ready. But I work mostly with the loved ones of people who are struggling with addiction, because they're struggling too and there isn't a lot out there for them. And so a lot of my website is based on that. And
yeah, you have a book.
I have two books. My first book is called Loving an Addict, Loving Yourself. It's the top 10 survival tips for loving someone with an addiction. And then the second book is called Loving an Addict, Loving Yourself, the workbook. Because the workbook takes the 10 tips and allows a person to go deeper, allows a loved one to go deeper. Okay, so you recognize that you're an enabler. You know, when people call me, they often say to me, I know I'm enabling. I don't know what else to do, but I know I'm enabling, which is great. I mean, it's such good self-awareness. I'm really glad you know that. So we want to find out why you're enabling. When did your people-pleasing start? You know, why are you so afraid to set boundaries? What's really going on here? And the workbook helps people get a little deeper into that.
So if you're a drug addict out there or an alcoholic and you want to buy your parents something for Christmas.
But you know what?
This would be a great gift.
If you're an addict or alcoholic and you want to stay sober and clean, this would be a great gift.
Awesome.
If not, then don't. But you know, the thing is that many addicts and alcoholics are also loved ones.
Yes.
Because we grow up in homes where there's addiction, or we're in relationships with an addict or something, you know. So I actually think that my book is helpful to people who are in recovery, mm-hmm, from addiction. Certainly not anybody who's in active addiction, because they won't like what I say. They're not going to be happy with me.
Book. So yeah. Your website address is?
It's www.candaceplatter.com.
And you have a Facebook page?
Yes, it's called Loving an Addict, Loving Yourself.
Awesome. Yep. Well, it's great to have you here and help us, you know, find out what we should do during the holiday season. You know, if you can do everything in your power to stay away from booze during Christmas, you know, I'm on the page of, yeah, I mean, if I'm going to have a Christmas dinner at my house, there ain't no Yeah, of course you can say one more thing.
Okay. I just wanted to say that a colleague of mine and I are putting together a workshop for people who are loved ones of addicts to learn how to actually set boundaries, to talk about the difference between passive-aggressive, assertive, aggressive, assertive, what those mean, and how to actually speak the boundaries and how to maintain them as well. So we're going to be looking at doing that probably around February, and if you're interested in that, you can contact me. My email is on my website, but it's candace@candaceplatter.com.
Helpful information.
Great, thanks.
Thank you very much.